Welcome back to another Caffeine and Coaching Podcast. This one's actually going to be a little special edition that wasn't planned to be that way. Initially, I had set out and I wanted to do a year-end or first of the year kind of my New Year's wish or resolution, if you will, for you. And this podcast took off with a very good friend of mine, and we went right at it from the very get-go. And I realized that everything we discussed and everything that he said in this podcast was actually was better than what I was going to say in my version. But the topic's the same, the idea is the same, the principles are the same. So I would love for you guys to really, it's a little bit longer podcast. It's about an hour and 10 minutes, longer than I normally like to do them. But I really want you to listen into this. I think that very good friend of mine, Mike Derner out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, I think he brings a lot of credibility and knowledge and swagger, if you will, to the table in this conversation. Wealth of experience. Like myself, he is a veteran. He's worked with the national team, so Team USA's Paralympic cycling program, helped them earn some medals all over the world for about 5 years. He's been coaching for almost, 12 or 14 years, which is a big difference in the two, but I don't remember that number we had discussed. So anyway, take a listen in. Mike Derner, myself, we sit down. I have a couple of beers. We agree to meet up and have beer later on. But at this point in time, I think this is a really good way to end the year and help you to jumpstart next year. So without further ado, my chat with Mike Derner.
That's the hair. That's how I roll every day now.
Yeah, my hair's all fucked up. So man, how you been?
Busy.
Good. Busy. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. You know, I started up this so I was doing a thing with Craig for a long time, the podcast. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And it went great. And I think we just kind of ran our course. He wrote his book and things just kind of, you know, just hard time linking up. And every time we'd come up with a topic, it wasn't as powerful and inspiring and we weren't as driven to talk about it. So we kind of said, you know what, we're good where we're at. And I moved on. But, you know, I'm compelled at the fact that people like you have knowledge, right? You have years of experience as an athlete and as a coach and life. And I'm not just saying it just to blow smoke up your ass. I'm dead serious. And so, you know, it's how do we get that knowledge out there, right? I struggle with that as a coach, is how do I get what's in here out? And in the moment, for example, every time we do a training camp and we come away, my wife goes, wow, you know, you said this tip of to try this or to do this or try this. And I've never heard you say that. I've been coaching for 5 fucking years. And it's like, I was in the moment. Like it just situationally made sense. So that's the purpose of this new podcast, is how do you take what's in people's head and piece it together into one big puzzle, right? And I don't know if you listen to podcasts, but Tim Ferriss has one that kind of inspired me. It's he takes little nuggets from every person he's ever interviewed and puts them into these well-written books. And it's like little pieces here that you take from here. You know, our coaching philosophies, mine specifically, comes from different people I know and working with different coaches and reading different things, and you kind of put them all together to what fits for my personality and my clients. And so that's kind of my journey that I'm on now with this, is how do I get the knowledge out of your head that may resonate with an athlete somewhere, not my athlete. I'm not doing this to get more athletes. I'm doing this to figure out how to piece the damn puzzle together, you know? So it's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Wow. That's a whole lot of deep stuff, and like starting off strong.
Hey, dude, if you're gonna come with a rock, you gotta come strong, right? I don't know if you played basketball back in the day, but you know,
I grew up playing hockey.
No matter what, then you got to bring the puck strong. You can't just go soft to the net, right?
Yeah.
And that's I kind of want to give you the backstory of my passion for this podcast, and it's I don't have all the fucking answers, and I don't want to have all the answers. I want to know people that have the answers, and I put my answers with their answers, and guess what? We answer everything.
Yeah.
And the problem is so many coaches in the endurance industry, as we've discussed before, they're just not willing to be vulnerable enough to have an open conversation with another coach or another area expert, because they're afraid they're going to seem like they look bad. And I'm perfectly fine with not knowing what I don't know. But if I don't talk to people like you, I'll never know it, because I get stuck in the same coaching philosophy or the same life philosophy or the same whatever you know, and I won't get on my rant because I've had three beers already. I won't get on my rant about coaches and how all that shit works. So yeah, I came strong with it. What can I say? You know, yeah. you got any feedback for me on that?
Yeah. I think what you just said about like, about coaches in the endurance sports, not being willing to be vulnerable is, I think that's a really true statement. I think maybe we see it more in the endurance sports because that's where we're at. But I think it exists across all aspects of life. Just a little experience I've had, you know, and there's always people who don't.
I got a book. I was looking for a book and I was going to show it to you while you were talking, but go ahead.
No problem. You know, there's always people that, that don't follow that rule. And there are people that are willing to make themselves vulnerable. I've had the absolute privilege of being around a few of those people over the last year, and I took a lot away from them and my time with them, and just learned so much of how to be vulnerable. And it's done phenomenal things for me, not only as a coach, but like as a dad, as a husband, as just a good human being, trying to be a good human being in general. And so I think if you're strong enough to be vulnerable, I think you just become better at everything because, oh, hey, I was hiding myself and I couldn't see the answers.
Dude, that's
because I was hiding so hard. I was trying so hard to look strong, to look armored up and you know it all, that you just miss shit everywhere.
You're actually, fear is making you weaker than you exactly could be.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's so Brené Brown is who wrote the book. God damn, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but I've read it a couple times, but it talks about being vulnerable, and I've applied that in my life in all aspects as a husband, as a father, as a coach. And I, you know, so I had this conversation the other day with an athlete that we kind of got into sport at the same time, and we kind of got into triathlon at the same time. We call ourselves the old guard now, because when you first get into something, right, when you first go to a job, when you first become a coach, for example, you feel like you got to know, and that's speaking from my perspective, I felt like I had to know everything in the moment that it was asked to me. I could not be wrong. I could not make a mistake. And that pressure is daunting. And so when it comes to the sport, like when I first got into sport, I had to do everything right plus 10, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that I feel now is I have so much more fun now not giving a shit. And I actually do better now because I don't give a shit, because it's like, okay, cool. You know, and so it's like you start off really tense, and you have to, as for my coaching progress is, I started off like, I got to know everything. I have to be the best coach I absolutely can. I have to coach all the athletes that I can. Mm-hmm. And you go through this progression. And then where I've progressed to is, you know what, as a coach, I'm a damn good coach, but there's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things I'm still learning. There's a lot of ideas I have. There's a lot of athletes I don't work well with. That was the hardest thing for me to ever grasp, is I used to take it so personal. When an athlete would leave, I took it personal. What did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Well, you just PR'd your fucking Ironman. That's what you told me you want to do. Why'd you fire me? I just need some time off. No, not good enough. What did I do wrong? And it got to a point where I realized that some fits just don't work. Some people, they just, you're with them for a small bit of their life journey, and your job is to maximize your time with them, and then move on. And then other people are with, I mean, shit, we've known each other for several years now. I mean, we don't talk a whole hell of a lot, but I still can call you up and say, hey, dude, you want to hop on a podcast? You know, and you're like, yeah, let's do it. So
yeah.
It's everybody's journey is a little bit different. The funny part is, so this is what I don't do, and there's people that they won't see this because I'm doing the video, but I'm pulling the audio. This is a list, Mike. And on this list is something I don't normally do. I don't normally list anything.
Okay.
I never make a list. And this podcast started out with no introduction. I just started shooting right at you as you called me out on, and I haven't even got to the list yet. So let's back up a second.
Okay.
First off, I appreciate you coming on. I've said your name a couple times, but this is, I'm chatting with Mike Derner. Mike lives in Colorado Springs. He's been coaching since I was probably knee high to a grasshopper.
That's not true.
That would date you, though. And I don't think you're quite 45, 50 range yet. I'm not going to judge you. But Mike is very, very well-versed, internationally recognized as a coach, worked with a lot of high-level cool stuff that I am in awe of. So, Mike, just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? Family? What do you do? Do you like long walks on the beach? I don't fucking know. Whatever.
I don't like long walks on the beach because generally walking, I don't know, I get bored. And do we get margaritas for this walk? Because that'll help.
Right, right, yeah, absolutely. We can loosen that up a little
bit. Yeah. I've been coaching now full time for 12 years. Wow. There's kind of a year in there last year where I stepped away from full time for a little bit, but you know, it was still a big part of what I did most days. And if I include you're in graduate school, so what's that, almost 14 years.
Wow. And you started coaching when you were about 15, right?
I started coaching. I was 28 or 29 in graduate school and started working with some triathletes who were around where I was going to graduate school at Kansas State. And then after graduate school, I got a job with Carmichael Training Systems. Came out with them in like January 2nd or something of 2006. And have, you know, worked 5 years there. And was very much in that mode that you just talked about of being new and like needing to know everything and not being able to say, I don't know.
Your shit cannot stink is the perspective that you take initially. Your shit cannot stink. It's got to smell great.
Yeah. And after 5 years there, I had the opportunity to go and be a national teams coach with, Paralympic cycling. And that was unbelievable. I learned so much there in the 5 years that I was there, and it was fantastic. But if you have any listeners that have the ambition of ever becoming a national teams coach, I will tell you that take vacations because I did not, and it was a bad idea. Two. Be patient, be really patient, and be willing to learn, and because it's a tumultuous little area, and it can definitely suck the life out of you, which is eventually why I left, because you know, the other important things in my life, my family was suffering a little bit, and now I'm not afraid to say that.
Right. So living the dream isn't exactly a dream that, you know, what we thought would be a great dream ended up not being as sweet of a dream.
Right. And it was excellent. I had great results. But yeah, my family suffered a little bit. And that's eventually why I left, to spend more time with them. So after kind of close to about 2 years of feeling it out and trying to figure out what's next, trying a few different things. I'm back into full-time coaching. I'm a contract national team coach for Paralympic cycling now.
Which is, I would assume, is Mo Better.
It's Mo Better because I get to say no to things now, which I did not before. Like, hey, do you want to do this trip 2 weeks after this last trip? No, I don't.
Hell no.
Hell no. Yeah.
Time out for a sponsor announcement here, Mike.
Okay.
Okay. We're back.
All right.
I need a beer.
I'm back doing that. And I also get to continue with a good, really awesome group of able-bodied athletes that I have picked up, since leaving, Paralympic cycling full time. Some mountain bikers, some road racers, a couple of people who crossed the barriers of both, and a couple of cyclocross racers, and And one guy I just picked up, he's a lot like you and I. He's a veteran, retired officer, was doing triathlon for 20 years, but just kind of lost the love.
Wow.
And now, he just wants to do some trail running and some mountain biking,
Nice, nice.
had his first week of structured training over Christmas here, and he's like, I feel so much better
You
than
know,
I
and
did.
so I'm going to pause you right there because the people can't see what I just saw, Mike. And you and I, we didn't discuss this at length at all. But when you said that, I saw your eyes light up. And what I noticed was that you're where you belong. You know, and we talked about this, and you went to the Fire Academy. Maybe we'll briefly mention that. But you told me I could not stop thinking about coaching. And I truly believe, I think that what we do is much like, it's just like teaching, but teachers, you have to be called to teach. Like, you don't just go to college and you're like, yeah, I'll go be a teacher. I don't want to make shit for money. I want to spend my own money to suit out the classrooms. I want to do it with a bunch of shitheads that don't, we're basically a babysitter at times. There's like a gift there. And, I wish that the listeners, they won't be able to see this, but could see the way that you lit up right there when you were talking about helping this guy. Who obviously you and I have a soft spot in our heart for veterans already, but this guy that had done it and fallen completely out of love with it after 20 years, and now he's back doing it, and you said he feels so much better, right? And so you and I, we have the life gift of sharing our fitness knowledge with others to help them feel better, whatever it is they're trying to overcome or work through or whatever. So that was cool to see, and that's something that I hate the fact that you can talk to a bunch of coaches, you don't always see that fire. You know, you don't always see that I'm doing this shit for a different reason other than a paycheck. And so that was really cool to see. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but
No.
that was a special moment to me because you don't get to see that. You don't see people accidentally, showing raw emotion about their passion for what they do.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that you saw that, and because that means that I'm at a place in my life where I can let that guard down, be vulnerable enough to show that.
Right.
And that's important to me, that hey, I want people to know that I am passionate about this, that I really enjoy what I'm doing, that when I get on the phone with one of my athletes, when I'm just texting them, when I'm building their schedules, looking at power files, it's all exciting to me. Like, even if I'm tired, even if my 5-year-old is like, Daddy, can we do something right now? I was looking at power files yesterday, 2 days ago, and we were playing Bare Naked Ladies Snack Time album while I was checking power files. And we're both singing along. So I hope I didn't make any mistakes on Tuesday, but
If you did, it's totally cool because it was bare naked ladies
it is.
and kid time.
But that's the other thing, is like I get to involve my son in stuff. I spend probably 10 days a month an afternoon at the velodrome working with athletes, and I'll just bring my son along if he's out of school, and he can ride his little bike around the velodrome, and it's totally safe, and he sees other dudes riding and he thinks that's cool and has a blast with it.
And he's ultimately the future of our business. He's the future of what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, even if he doesn't become a bike racer, he can go forward and be like, hey, bike racers are cool people, don't run them over on the road.
And so talk just briefly about your military history. You alluded that you're a veteran. You and I met at the Team Red, White, and Blue tri-camp, what, 5 years ago now? Four or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I
A
think
handful of years ago.
so it was, I think it was the second one that I went to, and it was 2013.
13? I think so.
I think it was
4 years ago.
2013. Down in Austin, and that was a cool time, put on by another friend of ours, Derek. Great group of people, a lot of fun. I got involved with that, and this is really how I got involved with Paralympic cycling and being a national team coach. Was I did 4 years of active duty service in the Army as an officer.
Deployed. We won't discuss the true difference in enlisted and officer on this podcast. That's for another time.
That's another time where I have beers too. but yeah, it's, you know, I deployed to the Middle East twice, once in peacetime, once in wartime. And it was a great experience. You know, I learned a lot from it. I still go back and revisit the things I learned too now. Probably so didn't.
How much do you think of your, we'll call it your military upbringing, plays into your coaching? Because myself, I'm a veteran, and I have two other veteran coaches. One was a Marine and one was a Ranger, Army Ranger. So how much of what, not necessarily the things you saw and you did and shooting and deployments and stuff, but how much of like the structure and how much of the mentality and how much of that was pretty much just fucking beat into us? How much of that do you think plays into your coaching now? Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's the opposite.
No, I think it does. But, you know, I think the biggest thing from that experience in my life that plays a role in my coaching is the ability to get along with different types of people and figure out how to communicate with different people. Because we all do communicate differently. We all listen differently. We all learn things differently. And less so in my day-to-day personal coaching, but as a national team coach, I didn't get to pick who I worked with, their talent or their ability selected them for the team. And so I had to be a bit of a chameleon myself in how I communicated.
Chameleon. I love that. Yeah. I've said that about myself before. You have to blend in wherever you're at. You got to blend in.
Yep. And I don't even take it as blending in. I take it as, you know, changing myself to fit the environment, and the environment being that athlete, of what do they need from me right now? Because it, like I said, it's different for everybody. Some athletes needed that structure and that hard line, and other athletes needed
a hug.
Yeah. Or, you know, just to sit down and nobody says anything for a few minutes. So.
Right. That's you put that so eloquently, and that's, you know, to me, that's the mark of a good coach, is one that is dynamic. You know, you heard it said before, it's hard to explain it, but you have to meet that person where they're at. And let's take this a step further, right? You have a wife that obviously is a saint because she puts up with you, much like my wife. I'm outkicking my coverage by a long way. And there are times in relationships, right? Just human interaction. You have to meet the person where they're at. You know, if my wife's having a bad day at work, she comes home, she don't want to hear about how shitty my job is because I work from home. Or how I had a rough day, or man, I didn't get to go on this bike ride with a group today because I had to do this. So, no, I got to pick up the kids from school, and you know, so they don't want to hear that. So, human interaction—you have to meet people where they're at, which takes it a step further in our day-to-day positions as coaches. So, I think you put that very eloquently. You have to be a chameleon in terms of you have to be so dynamic that you can mold to where that person needs you to be what you can be for them.
Yes.
And let's take it a step further, Mike. There are athletes that I'll speak for myself here, that I'm not dynamic enough to meet them where they need me. Right. Yeah. I've had athletes that I can't get there. That's not, I'm not rainbows and sunshines all the time. I'm not going to hug you all the time. I'm not going to tell you your hair looks freaking fantastic after you take your helmet off. I'm going to tell you, get out there and work your ass harder because you told me you had a very aggressive goal. You know, and sometimes my communication style, I found it's been a tough lesson for me personally the past couple of years, is probably much like, I don't know about if they touch this in firefighting, but you can't save them all. You can't work with them all. You can't help them all. You just can't. It's just, and so to take the burden away from the athlete, I put it on myself as to where I have to fully accept my skill sets, my strengths, and my weaknesses. And I have to fully understand who I am and accept who I am in order to best help every person that I can help.
Yeah. And I think we've kind of found the theme of this podcast.
Yeah.
A little bit as we've gone along, is that you have to accept yourself for who you are and your weaknesses. And that's a huge thing for too many people, to do. Like,
and why is that? Let's step back and let's just sit on this for a minute, because I think it's an important point. From your point of view, why do you think it's hard for people to step back and accept themselves for who they are?
You know, I think part of it is that just the population that you and I deal with, that we see, that we've seen growing up our whole lives, sports, military, more sports. You know, we're looking at successful, driven, type A personalities, a lot of testosterone,
male and female,
male and female. Yeah. And you know, and for that personality to show, vulnerability, to show weakness, our culture and probably a lot of quite a few other cultures say that, hey, that's not right. That's not how we do it. You know, if you're in charge, you be in charge and
right. Take the bull by the horns.
Yeah. And
or man up, as they say.
Exactly. Man up, cowboy up, ranger up, whatever you want to put it, you know, there's all these things that just like, hey, when life's tough, you know, you need to try to be tougher. And while I do agree with that, I think that there are times to step away and go, you know what? I don't have it today.
This just sitting in my wheelhouse.
This is scary. This is uncomfortable. And it's all okay to do that. Like, you know, you mentioned a couple of times that I went and I was a firefighter for a year and a half, during my little break. And it was scary. It was uncomfortable. I was okay at it. I would never even venture down the road to say I was good at it. I was okay.
You're
at
the
it
okayest best. Firefighter in yeah. Colorado Springs.
But the guys that I learned the most from, whether it was firefighting or just life, and I'm totally okay with saying that a lot of them were significantly younger than me, were the guys that said, hey, it's okay to say you can't do this right now. It's okay to be like, I need to learn a new way. It's okay to be like, I'm tired. I need a break. So those were the guys that I got the most out of as far as like learning and working with. And like I said, I learned so much more about being a coach from guys like that than I have about from a lot of other coaches that I've worked with, just because they're not vulnerable enough to say those things.
Right. You know, and you said that, and here's where I fully admit I'm not a smart guy. I like to be a deep thinker that really ends up fucking nowhere. But I wanted to put together a podcast, kind of the end of the year, my New Year's Eve, Jeremy, as a coach, as a person, my New Year's Eve wish. Okay. And here I'm going to show you again, because you know I don't make notes, but I actually am trying to get better and make show notes. You can't read that.
All right.
It looks backwards to me. But anyway, and my New Year's Eve wish was for people to grant themselves two things, the gift of patience and the gift of acceptance. And my message there was, and I was going to put this together actually before we chatted, but I got hung up drinking beer and talking to my wife. And it's the patience of where you are or the patience of where you aren't and where you want to be, right? Patience to get to that point, which we know with the population, it's hard to be patient. You know, this is an investment sport, whether it's cycling, swimming, triathlon, trail running, whatever. And the other thing is the acceptance of where you are and the acceptance of who you are. And so I think this actually is going to be my New Year's Eve or my New Year podcast, because we keep going back to that one thing. And I think it's because you're a very seasoned coach. You're a very seasoned man, you know, husband, spouse, whatever, very experienced, but it's, I still have shit that I need to accept about myself. I still have things I need to accept in my relationship that I'm not good at. I need to become better at certain things. I need, you know, I have things I need to accept within the coaching realm, you know, within the business ownership realm. I fucking sat here yesterday and went through financials for 2018. I'm not good at that, but I have to get better at it. That's not something I just ignore, but it's that gift of acceptance. And I think that the more we accept our place, our strengths, our weaknesses, our position, and our role, sometimes our just accepting our role in lives. I know what my role is in my wife's life. You know what your role is in your wife's life, in your kid's life, and your athlete's life. Like, you know your place. The more we accept those and we just play our role to the best of our ability, everything else works out. We don't have to go above and beyond. Like we were talking a minute ago about being, you know, a newer coach coming in, just guns blazing, got to be the best at everything that we do. Step back, see where you fit, and fill that gap.
Yeah, that's
mind blown, Mike. Mind blown. Boom.
Yeah. I totally agree with the fact that the person in each one of our lives that we have the most trouble being patient with and accepting the flaws of is ourselves. Like, if you're a good person, you're patient with other people. You accept their flaws. But I know so many good people that can't do the same things for themselves. And there are days I'm one of those people.
We all are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Some people won't admit it though. Like, you know I am. I fully accept the fact that I cannot be patient with myself sometimes. So now I'm accepting the fact that I can't be patient with myself.
You vocalize it. That doesn't mean it's going to change though.
I hope it does. Like, I will put some effort into changing it.
It will.
Yeah.
Right? It will, but it's acceptance is the first step.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of people out there like that. And I think your message of, hey, let's be patient with where we are, be patient with the process of getting where we want to be, and maybe even learning that that's an okay place, but not the final place, not where I want to end up.
Right.
And then accept all those little flaws that we have, accept where we're at, and accept where we get, because sometimes we don't get to where we want to be, no matter how hard we work, and just doesn't happen.
And you said that, and it made me think. So my oldest daughter, she'll turn 13 here in a couple of days. Go figure that. You can do that math for a second. Dude. Like, I got a 13.
You were
and
six?
Almost 12. Yeah, I was six when I had kids.
You were six when you had kids?
You'll find me in the Guinness Book of World Records. So 13, almost 12, both of those are girls. So you can imagine what's coming in the next 2 to 3 years. And oldest daughter, she's the one that's kind of experienced these emotional things, and I learned so much about myself, but about coaching by being a parent. And I learned so much about being a parent by being a coach. Mm-hmm. And I told my oldest daughter, I told her, it's probably been a month and a half ago, she was having a rough day. And she was pissed at herself that she was having a rough day. Right. So you see this cyclic process we're entering into. I eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat, right? The fat bastard syndrome. Yeah. And I told her, I sat her down. I said, listen, it's okay to not be okay today. Like, that's fine. Take the pressure off. Yeah. Accept who you are today. Right. And it's no different than an athlete that gets on the bike and they were hitting numbers last week. And this week, fuck, it's just not there. I don't know why. 10 watts shy. They beat themselves up repeatedly. And it's like, hey, it's okay. My job and your job is to look for a trend. Is the athlete trending down? Well, that's a problem. Is this an anomaly? Well, that's not a problem. What's a problem is not accepting that, hey, I just don't have it. Today is not that day. I didn't sleep well. Baby was up. God knows what types of life stresses that these athletes endure. And, you know, when you were talking about that a second ago, it hit me. And I remember talking to my daughter about that. And it's like, hey, it's okay to be not okay today. Like, that's fine. Accept it. But you have to acknowledge it. And you have to own it and say, man, today's just one of those days. I don't have it put together. You know, I don't feel inspired. I don't feel motivated. And I'm sure as a coach, there's some days that you sit down to write a training plan. It's not all rainbows and sunshine. You know, it's sometimes I sit down and it's like, whew, all right, it's got to be done. It's Sunday. It's got to be done. And some days I sit down and I'm like, oh man, this is a great workout. I'll put it here. This is a great, you know. And other days it's like, fuck, I don't even know where to start. Just go exercise next week. Can we do that? Like, free play, go for a week.
Yeah, I same thing. Like, all the time, man. Like, and the weird part is I say that's the easy part of the job is, like, building schedules. For the most part, that's the easy part of the job. Even when you're having a tough day building a schedule, you're like, this is still the easy part. And I love what you said about parenting, because my son got some Legos for Christmas.
Yeah.
And his first set of Legos, really. And so he got this one set.
Hang on, time out. I'm going to stop you right there. Problem. He's 5 years old, first set of Legos.
He's 5 years old, first set of Legos.
I'm going to call parenting fail, but I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not judging you.
Well, we had like the – you know, we had like the, this is progressed to the Legos.
So these are like legit, like the little Legos. You probably had the blocks.
The little
and stuff.
Legos. We had the big blocks, the Duplo blocks. And then we had, like,
I'll take that back.
Then we had these cool light up blocks that one of our neighbors got him for his birthday, like 2 years ago. Like they're almost as big as Duplos, but they're not quite. And you put them on this base and they have LEDs in them and they light up. And
Lincoln logs. Yeah. I had fucking Lincoln logs and trolls.
I will text you what he made with those 2 days before Christmas after we're done, because it's ridiculous. It's absurd. And so now he's got the Legos with the little tiny pieces.
Yeah.
And he's got like one of his cousins bought him like the 7 to 12 year old set to build a dinosaur. And he really wants to build it.
Right.
That's his goal on Christmas Day, is to build the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Well, he can't really get to it because he's like, wait a minute, there's a lot going on here.
Right.
So much detail that it's blowing his little five-year-old mind.
Right.
So I have to take my coaching mind and be like, all right, how am I going to work this so that he's successful in what he wants to do?
Right. Because with some athletes or some kids, you got to say, just go do it. Right.
Yeah.
And then others, you got to say, okay, here's a sample of what you need. And you just kind of breadcrumb them along.
Yep. And so I was like, let's do it this way. I want you to separate all the blocks by color. Cause he can grasp that. And then,
and then
I'm going through and I'm going, you need one of these blocks and telling him what to pick from his piles. And then he's like, putting it, and then I'm like, okay, you put it there and you put it there. And so, you know, like building an Iron Man plan or a Leadville plan.
Dude, it's like you just read my mind.
So huge.
You just got a pile of fucking blocks.
Exactly. But the athlete just sees a pile of blocks and you have to take it and break it down and figure out the best way to get that athlete to understand that pile of blocks and see the finished Ironman or the finished Leadville or the you know, the national championship road race or whatever at the end of that pile of blocks.
It's like you're speaking my love language right now. And I mean that in the most non-weird way possible. I mean, that analogy is incredible. And I've said it before, as coaches, we have to be master puzzle builders. We have to be able to build the puzzle better than anyone else in terms of what that athlete needs, because you can't see, just like your son, he could not see this dinosaur. No matter, you can show him the picture 100 times, he just sees a pile of multicolored, God knows what.
Yeah.
Right. And it's frustrating. And there are times, even as a coach, you look at it and it can be frustrating initially. And we say, okay, we separated our pile of blocks. I know this pile has to have this many pieces. This pile has to have this many pieces and colors. And this pile has to have this many pieces.
Yep.
And then, man, that's, you just blew my mind right back. This is incredible.
Yeah. And so, you know, that, like, I blew my own mind doing that because.
Right.
Because I was like, how did I figure this out? I didn't even know how I figured it out. But then I had to go back and look at how I figured it out. to learn from it.
You reverse engineer the process. You reverse engineer the Ironman build to figure out how that athlete got to there.
Yes.
Dude. Yeah. Oh, that's God, that is gold. If I could bottle that up, I would sell that shit on eBay.
Sometimes I just have days where it's like bam, bam, off right off the just top.
Mike's brain juice in a bottle.
Tell you,
I don't think we'd make that much off of it because it would be a whole lot, but I think we could maybe buy a coffee off of it.
Yeah, because I picture myself much like you. Like, I'm a dumb guy who just likes to like think about shit and then like find people who I think are smart and listen to them.
Yep, that's exactly. That's how it happens. You surround yourself with the right people. And you just, like I said at the very beginning of the podcast, you surround yourself. And this isn't anything. This is professional life. This is relationships. If you want to have a better relationship, surround yourself or seek out other couples who are happy, that are successful, that are having a good time, and see what their traits are. See what they do.
Yeah.
And that's what, as a coach, I look at other coaches out there. I could name five right this second that I always keep an eye on. You know, we don't always stay in contact, but I kind of have an idea of what they're doing and how they're interacting. And I'm like, man, that's shit, I didn't think about doing that. That's awesome. Now take that little piece and apply it and plug it into how it works in for me. You know, I'm not stealing it because it's making it work for me in my situation. But let's just be real here. And this is what I've told people before. My comfort in coaching, I'm not an incredible coach. I'm a good coach. But the thing is that what we're coaching, the science is pretty much generally speaking the same, right? It's not like I have something that you don't have. I understand the body has developed in this way and you haven't caught on to it yet. And I am now teaching this and I win. That's not how it works. The body's the body. It slowly evolves. But we have to take the body, which is a dynamic creature, but it's a steady creature. It doesn't make these huge leaps and bounds. And we have to apply current technology. We have to apply current thought processes. And you pull these from different sources and different mediums. But what we're doing is we're really taking a baseline knowledge of I don't want to dumb it down because it's not dumb, not generic science, but you take a general idea of what should be done. And we take whatever our natural skill sets are and piece those in place of how it works for every person. You know, because you can't take two people building to an Ironman and give them the exact same plan and expect the exact same results. It's not going to happen. Right. Because Johnny over here has got three kids and a full time job and student loans. And Ken over here, Barbie and Ken, I don't know why I went with Ken. Ken over here has, you know, no kids and everything's golden and can train 18 hours a week. You can't coach them the same way. And so we're taking a commonly known and understood science, but applying it in different aspects, which is why you can kind of pull ideas and really grow who you are as a coach. If you're open to it from the styles and the thought processes and the help of mentors, friends, and other coaches.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We, you know, it's that puzzle thing. Like the picture needs to look the same at the end.
Right.
For the athlete, but how we get there, how you put that puzzle together is so different based on the athlete and their situation. And you know, okay, we know if athletes that are successful at Ironman or half Ironman distance or whatever event you want to put out there, hey, if we improve their lactate threshold, they'll get better. But how you do
science.
It, yeah, that's the science. But
because how science you do it
for each athlete is different. You know, and
right.
I got to argue your science bit a bit.
Do it. Yeah.
It's great. Cause I saw this, I forget who I was listening to, but they said, yeah, science is just the study of what we don't know. And it doesn't prove anything. Math proves things.
Ah, so fair enough.
Math. If it's mathematical, we can prove it. But if it's science, this is what we didn't know. We didn't know this before.
So
we were looking at it.
I got to ask you a random question.
Mm-hmm.
And people can't see this on the podcast, but I can. It's been bothering me. Over what I think is your right shoulder, there's a shadow of something hanging It's on the wall. It's right behind you now. It's something hanging. Yeah. It appears as if you have – that appears to be maybe a sundress. What is hanging? All I can see is the shadow of the light sitting in. What is that?
I don't exactly know. Let me move over there and find out. So I'm at the CTS office today. There's a Los Corredores singlet. Looks like a track singlet.
Is that French?
Los Corredores? No, that's Spanish. That's my poor Spanish.
The other thing I want to ask, and this is what people can't see, but it's been getting in my head the whole time. What does your shirt say? Take it a step further, and I want you to tell me what that means to you as a person and as a coach.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my shirt says "dialed in," and you know, weird enough, I got this shirt from my barber.
And is your barber that place that I sat with you and you got your haircut in that really like really cool, odd little barber place?
Yeah. So it's an old school building.
Yeah, yeah. It's also the coffee shop's next door.
Yeah, exactly where. That's it. And so my barber shop, like they're really into doing an excellent job for their clients. You can go in, you can get a little whiskey, you can have some beer while you wait. You can have some right now.
Don't judge. Do not.
I don't. I'm not. Because if I was at my house, I'd probably have some whiskey right now in front of me. But yeah, so they're very into providing an excellent experience from your wait time to your haircut. So, you know, it's a regular barbershop, but they wash all the little bits out.
No, it was a process when I was there. It was fantastic to observe awkwardly. I've never sat in a barbershop and watched them get their haircut without having the police called.
They do the hot towel on your face while they're washing their hair. It's fantastic. But so what it means to me is like
as a person and as a coach.
As a person, this is like, okay, I'm dialed in today. I can nail down whatever I need to do. As a coach, it means I'm dialed in to what my athletes need. What do you need today? Because it changes day to day for the athlete, and it changes from one athlete to another. Today it seemed like a lot of people needed to hear the same thing. Maybe it was because this is right after Christmas, and a lot of people got like little things that like help them, you know, look at their metrics. Like
power meters, watches, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of watches, a lot of heart rate stuff, a lot of heart rate variability stuff. So today was a lot of explaining that, hey, there's algorithms involved in this. And each company uses a different one. And every time they update their software, they probably update their algorithm and change it a little bit.
But coach, it says right here that I'm not as fit as I was 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And I know they're new power pedals, and I know it's a completely different company, but why am I not putting out the same power?
Exactly.
I love that one.
That type of stuff.
Why is Johnny putting out this power and I'm putting out this power and we're riding side by side at the same speed? Oh, here we go. Here we go.
And then, you know, there's some new devices out there that will tell you, oh, hey, after that workout, you should rest for 3 days.
Every workout I do nowadays, I got to rest for like 7 days. I'm like, Garmin, you're crazy, but I will rest for seven days. Thank you.
Yeah. But those devices, they don't refer to your training plan to see what you have coming up. If you have a race coming up, maybe you should rest. But if you're in off season and the goal is to like build fitness and increase the amount of fatigue that you're having right now. No, we're not going to rest for 3 days. Why would we do that?
Call me next week. We'll get together over coffee.
You have intervals tomorrow.
You just had a base run. However, let me prove to you, you don't need to rest.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of this new technology coming out, but we still have to go back to the human side of it. Like, hey, what, how do I interface with this technology? How do I interpret it for my situation? You know? And I think, some coaches are starting to get away from that, and they're coaching from the screen, man, and that's it.
Start. The
Yeah.
results won't be there. So, and I'm going to wrap this up here shortly, but if I were to talk to every athlete that you have worked with in the past, let's say 5 years, all seven of them.
The swear words,
Okay, so let's back up.
motherfucker.
Let's back up. I want to address that. So,
Okay.
hang on. I gotta make this note or I'll forget it. Talk to athletes. So when you have an athlete, do you guys use TrainingPeaks?
We do, yes.
Okay. So when you go into TrainingPeaks and an athlete leaves you a comment or texts you a series of swear words because of said workout, does that as a coach, A or B, does it A, inspire you and tell you you're doing something right? Or B, make you say, oh shit, my bad.
Well, I have to take it in context. Like, first of all, what athlete is this? What, who
This
are
is an
they?
athlete, it's an age group athlete with
Yeah.
aggressive goals
And
that likes, and I'm using air quotes here, likes to be pushed, but doesn't like to be pushed.
yeah. So I'm looking at the words around it. So
You're a fucking asshole. This workout sucked.
I've never seen that comment. I see a lot more of like, man, legs were shit today. What the fuck? I had no fucking power. I don't know where my legs went. This is bullshit. How come I'm not recovering like a motherfucker?
Yeah. I have
You know,
gotten
and
fuck you fucking fuck as a comment one time.
somebody loves Jay and Silent Bob. But it just depends on the athlete, because I've gone both ways with that. Both options you gave me. I have been
Fair enough.
totally inspired by one athlete who loves to leave me cursing comments,
Yeah.
and she, but she knows that that inspires me, because we've
Right.
had this discussion.
Right.
And then another athlete that I see it in, and it's negative. And when I see it negative, I know, okay, I have to give him a call
If the
and kind
context
of,
is a going downhill,
right.
yep, absolutely. Well played on that.
I have to go and try to flip that switch to look at this situation in a more positive manner. Like,
Correct. Correct.
he left me that comment from yesterday's workout, and I went and looked at it, and I'm like, what are you talking about? This is a stupid hard workout that I just gave you, and it's two stupid hard days back to back. So yes,
Perspective.
this is exactly what I expected, and I am happy with it.
Thank
And
you. Come again.
yes, and changing people's perspective. I don't know if you guys have this situation down in Texas, but I have athletes that live in the mountains, Summit County, where there are a ridiculous number of talented and fit people.
All the time. It's like the people never become unfit.
Yes. Every day I can ski 10,000 feet, and then I can go ride for 3 hours,
KO in the
and
shit out of everything.
exactly. And there's just a super dangerous area there of working with athletes who have the ability to compare themselves to people like that. And it is tricky, and it takes a lot of extra work.
You got to rewire that brain. That's
Yeah.
the you have to help. You have to, no, you don't have to do it because we don't do anything. We have to help the athlete rewire the brain to where that's good competitive to have, but we don't beat ourselves up when we're not there.
Right.
Athlete sets a new 2 and 5 minute power record in a 20 minute interval and is pissed because they felt like shit at interval at minute 17. And it's like, hello, new all-time records, like big fucking deal.
Yeah. What?
But again, it's that flipping that thought process around.
Yeah. Here's
That
what
and
you did
that's
great. we can work on pacing.
Right. And that may be one of the most challenging things of what we do. I don't know. You may have a different idea of what's the most challenging part of being a coach. Maybe that would have been a good question to ask you earlier, but what's the hardest thing you routinely, what's the biggest opportunity you have for growth as a coach when it comes to your coaching? Like what's the toughest thing for you repeatedly that you're always kind of feel like you're up against it and moving through it?
It's that, just that finding the right chameleon color,
the right message
quickly, you know, like, oh, hey, this just happened. I need to go take care of this little time bomb, before it goes off.
So, TikTok.
Exactly. And you're like, oh man, what message do I need to convey? How do I need to convey it? And do I need to change any of the training in order to convey that message better?
You said that, Mike, and I thought about it, and it's almost like being on a race course on a lap course. Like, so for example, Ironman Chattanooga, mm-hmm. You're out there when they come off the bike, you see them, they're happy. You're excited for them. You're showing them, I'm proud of you. You're doing great, but you're also passing off the list of what we need to do, control, pacing, nutrition. Halfway through that lap, you see them again, 10K in. You see them again, and they're still good. You remind them, we're excited. Again, pounding home what we need to pound home. The half mark, you see it slowly start to kind of come over the top, and we have to switch. So when you see that athlete running towards you, you have to address, you have to identify body language, facial features, emotional showing, in order to know how we have to address that athlete, right? Because – it's no different than week-to-week coaching. This is just kind of in a one-time setting, but it's you got to look and react within a very short amount of time. And that's what we do, and that's what we do well. I'll go ahead and say I think we both do that very well, because I feel that you and I are both fairly emotional guys. We're very passionate about what we do, and we take great pride in the ability that we can recognize something and be able to meet it halfway before it becomes a full-blown 100% issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's one of those things that it's hard every day, but it's that puzzle piece that I really love too. I get excited about it. Like, oh man.
Game time. Dialed in.
I just watched this TBI athlete have a meltdown. Okay. Time to go, like, make sure there's no violence.
Right.
And I think the ability to do that off of not just physical signs, because that I think that can be easier at times, like with certain athletes that are emotional, that are passionate. That's pretty easy to tell when what's going on.
When they're pissed, you know it.
Yeah. Then there are athletes that are really shadowy, cagey, and you don't know it, but there's always little physical things that you can pick up. And then going back to what you brought up first with the Training Peaks comments and the texts, that's much harder to be like, what did
are they happy or are they
I'm not sure what they meant by that. There's I need an emoji, right? Come on, Training Peaks. I need an emoji.
Can you just give me the poop emoji? I will know you're not happy.
Right. And that's hilarious, because I'm so not an emoji guy.
It's like we need a code word.
It would make it so much easier in Training Peaks to know, like, hey, just that workout was shit, or I felt like it was shit. So
crying face.
A little poop emoji, right? Yeah, but yeah.
Maybe we can chat with Training Peaks. Hey, can we get some emojis in there? It is 20 almost 2018.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, that's a little harder.
Yeah, for sure. That is definitely a challenge. But I, like you, I'm a glutton for punishment, if you will. I enjoy that challenge because it's tough. It's dynamic. There's never the same answer to that, the same damn equation, ever. Even with the same athlete.
Yeah.
So, all right. So a couple more things. If I were talking, that was where I was at earlier. If I were to talk to your athletes for the past 5 years, now, granted, every athlete's different. Let's take that into context, and let's understand everybody gets written differently. Is there one workout that you just love, or one style of workout that swim, bike, run, doesn't matter what it is, strength, that you just love to give to athletes because A, it's quality, and B, it's fun to see them do? Like, is there one that just about, you know, the bell curve of athletes would say, yeah, he gave me, it was this type of workout, different numbers, obviously, but is there one workout that kind of they know they're going to get when they work with you?
Yeah, I kind of have a go-to for, you know, a lot of athletes will call it tempo, or, you know, it's aerobic threshold, you know, something below lactate threshold, right, where it's extended period of that. But I like to add in just little bumps of we're going above threshold, and then you have to recover at that effort.
God, I think I love you, Mike. I really do. My love has been confirmed in this conversation.
All right. I've always loved you, man.
Oh, great. Now I'm the asshole.
You had me on. You can't be.
I know.
Yeah. But that's kind of my, like, everybody has that phase. And then you just adjust. I just adjust the times of each of those for the type of athlete,
and what they need, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's, it's funny you say that, because, my thing is I finally named it, or I was told what it was. And so I named it. It's called a shit sandwich. And I serve these on the running platter. Uh-huh. And, a lot of the people that I've helped qualify for Boston have been, I believe they're talented runners, just couldn't quite get over that hump. And I've served them a lot of shit sandwiches, and it's essentially what you're talking about. You start off with a good steady state, get into a tempo type effort, but I teach them to change speeds between miles like 6 and 12, if you will, of a 15 mile run. Same thing. It's a steady state, but your recovery is always back down to whatever the demand is. And they've coined it shit sandwiches because they suck. And so it's funny you say that, because it's still the same. It's a similar style, you know, of what that is. But, you know, sometimes you just got to do that. Sometimes you have to just kind of shock the body and let the body know, oh, hey, this wasn't as bad as I thought it was. You know, wow, this effort wasn't as hard as I thought it was, because at least it's not that fucking effort I just did, or that I have to do. So it's interesting. Interesting. So super serious question here. I need your top five songs if you're out doing a workout. Songs or artists. Man. If you just go to artists, because the songs are hard to nail down. What would that be?
No, I can nail down songs way better than
do it. Give me five songs that are in your playlist if you're going out to do a workout.
So I have a couple Led Zeppelin songs.
Okay. A little old school.
I have Moby Dick.
Okay. Right?
And basically anything else off the Physical Graffiti album.
Physical Graffiti.
There's a song called Love in the Minor Key by the Welshly Arms.
Okay.
It's fantastic. It's a really excellent tune.
And what type of genre is this? Because I've never heard of those, so I'm excited about that.
So the Welshly Arms are kind of like a bluesy rock. Okay. But they've got some horns sometimes, and then Poor Decisions by The Real McKenzies.
Okay.
That's like Canadian punk. Okay. And
eclectic mix there. I like it.
Yeah. And then let's see, what was it? And there's this one that one of my athletes just turned me on to recently. This is the last one. Is Kishibashi. I'll see you there. And it's very much for when I'm on my mountain bike, like descending, or if I'm skiing, it's just like, man, I am flowing through these corners and just.
You're dialed in.
I'm dialed in on the descent. It feels smooth and.
Got it.
And fast.
Got it. I'm going to look into those. Those are ones that I've never heard of. So I appreciate that. Hopefully our listeners will check that out. All seven of them.
I tuned in your old one. I didn't know you had a new one until you texted me that you
wanted
one.
Yeah, I just started it up recently. Like I said, I wanted to get a little bit of a – I don't like going to a podcast and listening if there's only two or three, because if I really like it, I'm going to be hungry for another, yet I'll forget it because I've got the brain of a squirrel.
Yeah.
So favorite beer. If you could only have one beer for the rest of your life.
If I could only have one beer for the rest of my life – it would be, there's a local brewery here in town, called Red Leg Brewery. It's another vet. I like to support other vets in their business.
I fully recognize Red Leg.
And, they make a beer called Blue Nose Brown Ale. It's really good, smooth, not too much alcohol, not too hoppy. It's just nice. It's just really enjoyable.
When I come there, we're going to sit down and we're going to go to Red Leg and have some.
We are. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's little Green Army men that we can play with and
shut up.
I'm
there. I'm totally there. Do I need to ask what the best coffee joint in Colorado Springs is if people want to visit?
Man, Colorado Springs has two really good things going for it: beer and coffee.
And there's a big fucking mountain there.
There's a big mountain.
The training center, Air Force Academy.
It's pretty good for training. It's shit for racing. I'm not kidding. There's no racing to be had in town except for running, which is great for my wife. It sucks for me.
Right.
But yeah. So coffee, we have some awesome places. There's the place you and I had coffee, Building 3.
Yeah.
Another veteran-owned business.
That was a cool spot.
There's Inertia Coffee. Another veteran-owned business with a science-themed coffee shop.
Shut up.
I'm shit you not, man. It's a good time.
Dude, fuck.
They serve espresso in a little, 4-ounce beaker.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Brilliant.
Wow. Yeah. So there's some really good coffee shops.
All right, so – for those ever want to make Colorado Springs, Colorado Springs is absolutely beautiful, by the way. Love it up there. So the last one I'll bring up. I have to ask this because I've always wondered this about you since the day that I laid eyes on you. Your sideburns.
Yes.
They have been there for a long time.
They have been there for a long time.
But they've always been about the same length, and they're a little longer than quote-unquote normal, which is 100% game. That's good.
We'll let your viewers get a look.
Well, we're not going to have any viewers. But they're fantastic. What started that?
Man, I'll tell you what.
Obviously, the wife liked her. They wouldn't be there, which is why I am full-faced right now with a beard. But where'd that come from?
You know, I was in high school, and
– this was the 70s, wasn't it?
This was the 70s. there was this professional mountain biker at the time who I looked up to. He had a lot of style, and I was growing up in this small town where people didn't have a lot of style, but Travis had, he had this flavor saver, and occasionally he had a goatee, but he had these ripping sideburns that had a flare on them that were they were out to here. And so, I mean, I was 16, I couldn't get the flare going yet.
There's some fill-in time.
So I just had the sideburns. They were there, 16, 17, 18. I went to college. They came off for a couple of years, between college and the military. But then as I got closer to the end of my tour, they came back.
Of course they did.
More than one time I had a battalion XO tell me that they were getting close. Yeah. You need to keep an eye on those lieutenants.
Those are close to regs.
Yeah. You know what? They have been there since I think they started coming back. Cause I did shave my head when I was in Iraq. Just, it was more comfortable. Right. But I think once they came back after that trip to the Middle East, they've been back ever since. So
no real rhyme or reason other than inspired at a young age.
Yes.
I like it.
And they just kind of became a part of me at that age. And so, yeah.
Well played. That's a beautiful story. I couldn't have made up a better story, to be honest with you. So Mike, any last things? Obviously you work up there at Carmichael. Are you currently taking on more athletes, or are you kind of filled up where you're at? What's your situation?
No, I am currently taking on more athletes.
How do people reach you if they want to reach out to you?
So a couple ways to reach out to me.
And we're done here.
mdurner@trainwright.com, and that's mdurner at trainwright.com. I'm not opposed to people just calling me up, 719-660-2481.
This is like a rap song.
I know. Those are my digits. But
hit me on my cell.
That's it. I will attempt to work with about anybody, but I do put a lot of emphasis on, I have to be the right coach for you. All the athletes that come to me and say, hey, I'm thinking about switching coaches, or I'm looking into working with you, I'm like, talk to me like you're interviewing me for a job.
Exactly. And interview others.
Interview others. Please do. Because I don't want to give somebody a poor experience in sport. And I hope that other coaches would feel that way. I think it would benefit all of us.
And that, my friend, is why you were one hell of a coach.
Thank you.
I wish that if the industry were more like that, I want to go into that. We discussed that at the beginning. I'm not going to go into that, but that's why you're one hell of a coach. And anyone that's currently looking for a coach, please consider Mike Durner for sure. Great guy. I vouch for him. Very good friend of mine. Other than that, any final words, any parting thoughts?
First, thank you. This was my first podcast appearance.
Shout out. Give me that cherry, son.
All right. So thank you to Jeremy Brown. If you're looking for a coach, consider him, please.
Consider Mike Durner.
War of politeness. I thank you. I'm really honored. And this was a great time. It was great to see you again. I hope you make it up to Colorado Springs, or I get down to Texas sometime soon.
I think you'll be back on here at some point. I think we have a lot of things that we think, and based on our experience, we could put together. I think we could actually get together again and have another chat. Hopefully it's in person next time. I'll bring my recorder and we'll sit down at Red Leg over beer. Yes. And we'll make sure we're three or four beers in before we start hitting record.
Yes.
Because that's when the magic happens. So maybe I can make that happen sooner rather than later. So other than that, thanks for coming on today. I appreciate you hanging out, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
All right. It was a stellar experience.
All right. Later.